Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's your host, Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root. I am a nutritionist and a nurse. We talk about prevention. We talk about natural health, alternatives to drugs, alternatives to the mainstream as far as ways to be healthy. That's what Food for Thought is all about, to give you something to think about. Everybody would love to be healthier, and there are lots of great ways to accomplish that without surrendering to a lifetime of dependency on a bunch of different drugs, which is what happens to people as they age if they don't take care of themselves. And I'm looking for pathways around that for myself, for my family, and for all of you as well. I've got an information-packed hour ahead, so sit back, grab a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and join me, won't you? The first bit of news came out from a Journal of Experimental Science, and it posed the question, can fish oil protect against brain damage caused by alcohol abuse? We don't think about this that often because we are a society that so embraces a daily cocktail in every way, in advertising, just in general social behavior. We embrace the idea of almost constant intake of alcohol. But we know that alcohol can be abused, and it is the most widely abused drug after caffeine, and it causes brain damage in some number of people, increasing the risk of dementia. When people are long-term heavy drinkers, so more than two drinks a day for men, more than one drink per day for women, it can set up changes in the brain that are, in some cases, permanent and long-lasting. I currently know two people that have some pretty significant brain damage caused by alcohol abuse, and that's just in my social circle. So I know that it is everywhere. And this study found that omega-3 fish oil could protect against that. So long-term alcohol abuse causes brain damage and increases the risk of dementia. The cases of dementia are greatly on the increase in our culture, and possibly not just because our aging demographic, not just because the boomers are all coming of age and becoming older. It's not just about that. It's really about lifestyle. That is the reason why we're seeing the rates of dementia soaring. So this was a study in Chicago, Loyola University, and what they did was a meta-analysis. And they found that moderate levels, and that is, again, two drinks for men, and this is a maximum now, two drinks per day for men, one for women, can reduce the risk of dementia and cognitive impairment. But go beyond that, and we have a problem. So they actually conducted a study, and it was an animal study, and they found that omega-3 is protective, and it was a specific omega-3. It was DHA. DHA is the one that is hardest to come by from the typical North American diet. It is docosahexaenoic acid, and that, along with a little bit of aspirin, forms some very protective compounds that are right there in the brain, available to put out the fires of inflammation and to stop the death of brain cells that are under the influence of toxic assault. And not just alcohol. Alcohol is one of the ways that we can really trash our brain, but we can give ourselves a pretty solid rap on the head by falling down or playing in contact sports or skiing into a tree. and really do a lot of damage in the brain. Stroke is another way to damage the brain. And DHA would be protective in all of these circumstances. So strongly that we're starting to investigate the use of DHA in contact sports participants and the use of DHA in the military to preserve the integrity of the brain when it becomes injured. Well, DHA also helps to preserve the integrity of the brain in people that are chronic alcohol abusers. Now, another thing about chronic alcohol abuse is it'll trash your liver. And there are other compounds that are very protective of the liver. So if you have a heavy drinker in your family, they certainly need to be on a fish oil supplement that's rich in DHA. For adults, I recommend 1,000 milligrams a day of DHA itself as part of a bigger picture of at least 2,000 milligrams a day of the combination of EPA and DHA. So we really want to get those omega-3 levels up there. What about the liver for people who drink? Phosphatidylcholine is one of the most important supplements, and it's something that occurs naturally in eggs, so eat eggs and eat the whole egg. And also alpha-lipoic acid, which raises glutathione levels, which we'll visit that conversation a little later this morning, talking about the immune system. Ebola is in the news. What can we do to boost immune function? I'm going to have a segment on that today. And alpha-lipoic acid and the herb milk thistle or silymarin. So phosphatidylcholine, alpha-lipoic acid, milk thistle, the herb. Those are all things that can protect the liver in people who maybe go a little too far with alcohol. Another item that was in the news that concerned me this week was that exposure to light at night for women who have breast cancer might make their tumors resistant to tamoxifen. Tamoxifen is an estrogen-blocking medication that we typically use to treat breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body. But exposure to dim light at night, even light that comes in from a street light, suppresses melatonin production and it makes breast cancer tumors resistant to tamoxifen. So we need a very dark room when we sleep. It's the darkness that's important. Our levels of melatonin are not determined by us being asleep. If during the night we sleep in a brightly lit room, melatonin levels may be inhibited. And conversely, if you were in a very dark room but even were not asleep, your melatonin levels would still rise normally. So the melatonin and light at night thing is an issue, and it's of a particular concern for people who have to work overnight. Air traffic controllers, nurses, doctors, police officers, hospital workers, people that work all night in 24-hour grocery stores or restaurants. There's a disruption of circadian rhythm by night shift work and also by disturbed sleep. And that can result in an increased risk of breast cancer and other diseases. And for patients with hormone receptor positive breast cancer, tamoxifen resistance is a growing problem. Now, to counter it, they gave nighttime melatonin supplements, and that resulted in regressed tumors. So for people who need to work at night, and, you know, it's a troubling situation, that the jobs that we have might be the only jobs that we can get right now. The job growth part of the economy is not growing at the same pace that business growth is growing. And so you may be forced into a night shift in order to make ends meet. And if that is the case, you need to treat with melatonin. Nighttime melatonin supplementation is going to be very important, particularly if you are a cancer patient. And you know what? People who get cancer don't just get to quit work, because treating that, dealing with that disease is very expensive. And some people are in a position where they have to work through things. And so if that's you and you're working overnight, a melatonin supplement is something that would probably be very protective for you. So I just think that that was an important study that came out. Here's another one. And this is good news for people who don't exercise that aggressively. This is Mayo Clinic in Arizona. And what it found was that any level of midlife exercise can keep dementia at bay. And they call midlife 50 to 65. And so any physical activity, whether it's mild or moderate or vigorous, protects people who have normal cognition from progressing to any kind of mild impairment. And people with mild impairment are prevented from progressing to dementia just by being active. Now, the most effective level is moderate activity, so slightly short of breath if you're walking. Mild exercise is leisurely walking. Brisk walking, cycling, and swimming are defined as moderate exercise. Vigorous is mountain biking or downhill skiing. So just to give you a feel for the difference. But any level, so even if you are, you know, the most efficiently unproductive couch potato that you know, just a little bit of walking can preserve the integrity of your cognitive function, your brain power preserved. Just leisurely walking will do it if you happen to be in your 50s and 60s. So I think that's particularly good news. Any level of activity is good. You do not have to kill yourself to preserve your brain. Now, zinc. I wonder if you're getting enough zinc, because there was a comprehensive review in Food Science and Food Safety that was published looking at the essentiality of zinc. It's a trace mineral. It's essential for health. And the human body contains about 2 to 3 grams of zinc. You don't have to take a mountain of zinc. The RDA is 18 milligrams. You usually find that in a good multivitamin. Zinc supports the brain, the cardiovascular system, the liver, a normal pregnancy. It reduces the likelihood of diabetes by being very important for the production and storage and secretion of insulin. It supports a healthy endocrine system, thymus gland, response to vaccinations. It supports healing. It even can shorten the duration of severe pneumonia. So make sure you're on a multi that contains some zinc and get zinc on a daily basis. Or you could eat some oysters on the half shell. That's a way I like to get zinc from time to time. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, nutritionist and nurse, Jolie Root, and we will be back in about 2 minutes. Stay with me.
Have you heard about Carlson Super 2 Daily? No doubt you've heard about the benefits of eating more fish, but most of us don't eat omega-3 rich fish every day. Carlson Super 2 Daily is like having a serving of light tuna when you take your multivitamin. Take your vitamins, minerals, and a dose of Heart Smart omega-3s all in one formula, two soft gels. Carlson Super 2 Daily. It's the perfect foundation for your supplement program. Carlson Super 2 Daily is a comprehensive, balanced formula supplying essential vitamins and minerals in just two easy-to-swallow soft gels. Plus, Carlson Super 2 Daily provides the omega-3s, EPA, and DHA to support the heart, nerves, brain, and the eyes. Purity, potency, and freshness are always guaranteed. Look for Carlson Super 2 Daily at finer health food stores today. Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem soft gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep cold water fish.
That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root. And I want to mention my blog, Red Wine, Green Tea, and Dark Chocolate. You can keep up with me during the week when I'm not on the air by reading the things that I post on the blog. Follow me on Twitter at Jolie Root, J-O-L-I-E-R-O-O-T, on Twitter. The blog is JolieBlogs.com, J-O-L-I-E-B-L-O-G-S. And Food for Thought has a Facebook page, Food for Thought Radio on Facebook. You can find us there as well. So there's lots of ways to keep up with health information on days that I'm not on the air. One of the places where I like to stay abreast of medical news is the website Medscape.com, M-E-D-S-C-A-P-E.com, Medscape. Most of the people that read Medscape are doctors, and it is a dialogue among doctors quite often about the practice of medicine, and many, many great articles are published there on a daily basis. There was one that I really wanted to share with you because I also have concern on this topic, and the title of the article was Growing Doubt on Statin Drugs, the Problem of Drug-Lifestyle Interaction. This was a commentary by a physician who wrote, "My mind is changing about statins. I'm increasingly worried about the irrational exuberance over these drugs, especially when used for prevention of heart disease that has yet to happen." And the doctor went on to say that an elderly patient called his office to thank him, not for a successful procedure or surgery, but rather for helping with a problem that had been plaguing her for 10 years. This doctor, who's writing about this, is an electrophysiologist. How did he help the patient without doing a procedure? He stopped her statin. A few weeks later, the patient said her muscle and joint pain were gone. She thought it was arthritis. She's walking now on a daily basis. She said she hasn't felt this good in years. She's lost 5 pounds. So why was this elderly woman put on a statin? It was being used to lower cholesterol in the hopes that it would lower her risk of a future heart attack or stroke. That's primary prevention. In other words, it hasn't happened yet. The patient had no vascular disease, but simply had a high cholesterol level. Now, this is true of millions of people. The problem, of course, is that statins have not been well studied in elderly women. Her doctor and the medical establishment have extrapolated findings of clinical trials on younger, mostly male patients, to all patients with high cholesterol levels. And that is a striking jump to make, because low cholesterol levels in the elderly are associated with higher death rates. So this doctor, after this woman said her muscle and joint pain were gone, it led him to review some of the statin evidence and think again about treating people versus disease. So start with the truth, absolute, not relative values. When statins are used in low-risk patients without heart disease, there's no mortality benefit. Your chances of dying are the same on or off the drug, regardless of how much the statin lowers your cholesterol level. When statins are used for primary prevention, meaning the person doesn't have heart disease, there's a small lowering of future vascular events over the next 5 to 10 years. The absolute risk reduction is 7 per 1,000. That means you would actually have 7 events less in a group of 1,000 people treated. Another way of looking at that is, for 99.3% of statin-treated patients, there is no benefit. And the thing is, there's a 1% increased risk of developing diabetes. And aside from industry-sponsored cholesterol trials, there hasn't been any independent analysis done on statins. So it is observational data, and those don't prove cause. And there was a troubling study that was published in April of this year, presented actually by the Society of General Internal Medicine. There was a meeting in San Diego. And what they found was that individuals who get statin therapy for high cholesterol actually eat more calories and more fat than individuals who are not taking statins. And that parallels with an increase in body mass index. So people think that they're on a statin and they can just eat anything that they want. And so if statin users consume more calories and gain weight and exercise less, it would be easy to see why cardiovascular benefits would be so small. And it has, for the medical community, been pretty hard to explain why striking reductions in LDL cholesterol from statins haven't actually translated into significant future benefit. And the possibility could be that cholesterol levels are a lousy surrogate for outcomes. Certainly seems true in the elderly. So I think that we need to not just rush people in their 60s and 70s and 80s onto statin medications, because they have wide biological actions that are not always positive. It's not just the muscle and joint pain, it's cognitive impairment. People get brain fog sometimes. So what if you've got elevated cholesterol and those numbers trouble you and you don't want to use a statin? What can you do? Are there nutrients? Yes. There's a B vitamin. It's a cofactor of pantothenic acid. And it's called pantothene. It's an enzymatically more active version of pantothenic acid. You can lower total cholesterol and LDL by taking this B vitamin, 300 milligrams, three times a day. Pantothene, 900 milligrams daily. Very effective for lowering total and LDL cholesterol. There's another B vitamin that works very well, one version of it, niacin. You've got to take the sustained release version. Now, that can be problematic for some people. It irritates the liver of a lot of people, not a lot, 20% of people who take sustained release niacin have liver and elevation due to that. So if you're one of those people and you stop the niacin, it will normalize. Your liver enzymes will go back to normal. If you are among the 4 out of 5 people that doesn't happen for, 500 milligrams of sustained release niacin with each meal, three times daily, reduces total cholesterol very effectively, supports higher HDL levels, and reduces triglycerides. So you could try the pantothene, 300 milligrams, three times a day, or you could try the sustained release niacin. There's a 50-year history of efficacy with that B vitamin. Now, not the no-flush niacin. That doesn't actually impact cholesterol levels. Sustained release is the one you need to reach for. And the other thing you could do is cinnamon. Cinnamon reduces blood sugar and cholesterol levels. Now, you need the true cinnamon. It's also called Ceylon, C-E-Y-L-O-N, cinnamon. There was a study where they recruited 60 patients with type 2 diabetes. Half of them were men and half of them were women. Average age of 52 that had diabetes for 7 years. And they gave different levels of cinnamon, 1,000, 3,000, or 6,000 milligrams of cinnamon. 6,000 would be a little more than a solid teaspoon. They did this for 40 days. They measured the glucose and lipid levels at the beginning of study, halfway through, at the 40-day period, and then 60 days, in other words, 20 days after they stopped the cinnamon. The results were dramatic. All three doses, 1,000 or 3,000 or 6,000 milligrams of cinnamon, had a strong impact on glucose levels and on the lipid levels as well. From the lower dose to the higher dose, total cholesterol dropped from 12% to 26%. LDL cholesterol was reduced by 27% in the higher dose, 7% in the lower dose. Triglycerides were reduced between 23 and 30%. So all three doses of cinnamon were effective in reducing the levels of total cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, and triglycerides, and the activity of those reductions sustained even at the 60-day point, even 20 days after they stopped taking the cinnamon. So pantothene, or sustained-release niacin, or cinnamon in a dose that you could add by adding a teaspoonful of Ceylon cinnamon, or you can take that as a capsule. That there are encapsulated versions of Ceylon cinnamon. Carlson makes one. And just as effective as cholesterol-lowering medications without the side effects of the statins. And that's really what we want to avoid, are the side effects. Now, are there foods that are heart helpers? Absolutely. Some of the grains, and people do bash grains, but whole grains can be very helpful. There's one called kamut. And kamut is full of fiber, lots of potassium and zinc and antioxidants. Another food that we don't talk about on Food for Thought very often, prunes. Fiber and carbohydrates in the dried plums prevent blood sugar streams, swings. The blood sugar in your bloodstream swings up and down between meals. The dried plums help that. They also reduce LDL cholesterol. You can chop them up and add them to oatmeal. You could also put some cinnamon in there. Heart helper foods continued. Macadamia nuts. You know, you can crumble those up and use them as a coating for fish fillets. You dip them in a little bit of egg, dredge them in the finely chopped macadamias, and then just saute them on a low to medium heat. You could have a square of dark chocolate with that, or a little handful of dried fruit, and that would be very good for your heart. So let's not be rushing onto medications when lifestyle has always proven to be far more effective. This is Food for Thought. We will be back in about 2 minutes with more great information about staying healthy naturally. Stay with me.
You've heard a lot about the health benefits of vitamin D. Now you can get your vitamin D in a base of the healthiest omega-3s. Carlson Solar D Gems provides both. Carlson Solar D Gems provides 2,000 to 4,000 IU of all-natural vitamin D3, a vitamin that many people do not get enough of from the sun alone. In fact, many health experts are now claiming that most Americans are lacking in this important nutrient. Vitamin D3 plays an important role in bone, cardiovascular, and immune health. Plus, Carlson's Solar D Gems also contains the important omega-3 oils that your body needs to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. The omega-3s support the absorption of the vitamin D. You get the benefits of both. Carlson Solar D Gems, vitamin D in a base of omega-3s. Look for Carlson Solar D Gems at your favorite natural food store today.
Concerned about diabetes? Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes is a unique formula containing nutrients that support the health of individuals with diabetes or pre-diabetes. Two easy-to-swallow soft gels supply over 25 nutrients, including important omega-3s from fish oil. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes supports a healthy heart, brain, and nerves, healthy vision, and healthy circulation. Ask for Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes at finer health food stores today. or go to CarlsonLabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes. Ask for it today.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root, and I always let you listen to that spot about the NutriSupport Diabetes because it is my favorite multivitamin that Carlson makes. And I kind of want to name it something else, like Metabolism Multi. I think we should call it something different. That's a multivitamin. You think, well, I'm not diabetic, so that's not for me. And that's too bad because it's such a great multivitamin with so many different compounds that really help to stabilize blood sugar levels, promote healthy blood vessels, promote healthy vision. It's an excellent multivitamin for adults in North America for this Western lifestyle culture and it's the one that I take, but I really do think we ought to call it something like longevity multi or metabolism multi because I think the diabetes name sometimes makes people think, well, that one's not for me, but you know, it maybe it should be NutriSupport so you never get diabetes, but of course, you know, the industry can't do that. We can't make those kinds of claims, but I love that product. There was another interesting story that came out looking at vitamin E as an overlooked nutrient, especially regarding its brain health benefits. I talk a lot about the health of the brain because most of us as adults want to hold on to the health of our brain. And so if we have been successful in warding off cardiovascular disease, then we also would like to be successful in warding off cognitive decline as we get a little bit older. And with vitamin E, it's just unfortunate that 90% of Americans don't even consume the RDA. And most people get less than half of the RDA. So it is overlooked, and we need to really look at the brain health benefits. Pharmacological doses of vitamin E didn't turn out to be a magic bullet in preventing cancer and cardiovascular disease. Although, in the Women's Health Initiative, those women who took vitamin E on a daily basis for 10 years and got to be the age of 65 and older actually did have a 49% reduction in cardiovascular disease. And nobody ever talks about that. Most people were supplementing with vitamin E back when those trials were done, and the intake of polyunsaturated fats were much lower. But since those trials that reported no benefit, no heart benefit with vitamin E were reported, vitamin E intakes have fallen dramatically. The prevalence of vitamin E supplementation since 2002 has dropped by about 44%. So people are not taking their vitamin E. And when you look at what we eat in America, looking at dietary guidelines, when 90% of people are not getting the RDA and the situation is worsening, that's a problem. Vitamin E's antioxidant effects play a key role in protecting the membranes everywhere in the body, cell membranes, from oxidation. And vitamin E protects omega-3 fatty acids from forming peroxides when they get oxidized. Free radicals, the oxidative compounds, are thought to be very important mediators of oxidative stress in the brain, and that is associated with Alzheimer's disease, and oxidative stress in the brain is associated with stress also. And reduced levels of vitamin E and biomarkers of oxidative stress have been measured in individuals that have Alzheimer's, but also just in people without Alzheimer's, but who have mild cognitive impairment. So when we talk about vitamin E, it's important to really grasp the whole picture because there's a family to be discussed. Vitamin E is not just one compound. There are eight forms of vitamin E, four tocopherols and four tocotrienols. And the majority of the science in the past looked at vitamin E, one of the tocopherols, the alpha tocopherol, in the context of heart disease, cancer, and eye disease. But more recent research has indicated that all of the plasma vitamin E forms may play a role in brain health. There was a paper that was published just a year or so ago in the journal Neurobiology of Aging. They found the risk of mild cognitive impairment was 15% lower for people with the tocopherols that were higher, highest levels of tocopherols, and 8% lower in people with the highest levels of tocotrienols. There was also a link to Alzheimer's disease. Higher blood levels of markers of vitamin E damage were present in people with mild cognitive impairment and in Alzheimer's. And then it's important to really take a look at this other half of the vitamin E family, the tocotrienols. Most vitamin E supplements only contain the one form of vitamin E, the alpha tocopherol form. And sometimes when you go out into the mass market to drugstores, and even, unfortunately, sometimes in natural food stores, the vitamin E, the alpha tocopherol, is actually even synthetic. I was looking at some gummy formulations the other day, and they had synthetic alpha tocopherol, which is only half as active in the body as the natural alpha tocopherol vitamin E. But the other forms of vitamin E, the other tocopherols and the tocotrienols, seem to be more potent, particularly the tocotrienols seem to be more potent in the vitamin E family in protecting the brain from stroke-induced injuries, neurodegeneration, and as well improving cognitive function among the elderly. So a tocotrienol supplement may make sense for you if you have a family history of stroke or if you are just an adult concerned about preserving your cognitive power, your brain power. Tocomin Suprabio is one that I really want to point out because that is the exact tocotrienol that has been used in studies on brain health, particularly on these stroke-related brain cell injuries. Tocomin Suprabio is available in the marketplace. Carlson makes one. They're not the only brand, but I think that they would be the brand that I would recommend. And those are tocotrienol supplements that you can add to your daily supplement regimen. The tocotrienols need to be part of your daily supplement regimen in order to have them on board in case something goes on with your brain. If you had a mild stroke, you are much more likely to have a complete recovery of the dying neurons, even when the tocotrienol is introduced several hours after the event. And there's another impact of stroke with people. You get these white matter lesions. People have silent strokes. But now that we have the advent of the use of brain scans, we can see that a person has had that based on the presence of these areas that are called white matter lesions. And with tocotrienol supplementation, after a year or two, there was actually regression of these white matter lesions and improvement in cognitive function in people who had had silent strokes. So the tocotrienols really need to be part of our daily regimen. And think of them together with omega-3s, and particularly the omega-3 DHA, when you think about working on brain health going forward. You know, should brain health be a big part of your list of priorities for your health? Yes. The answer, of course, is yes. The idea, I think, about integrative medicine is that we need to reevaluate from time to time. It certainly has been true for me. I've been at this now for 30 years. And when I was 30 years younger, my health priorities were very different than they are today. And I, you know, as a 20-something, I was thinking about completely different life situations at that point in my life. So, as I have constantly reevaluated, so should you. And it's a good idea sometimes to sit down and sort of take stock. Where are you? Where are you with your health? Don't wait until your doctor tells you to do something. Be proactive, because we have the technology now to have healthy golden years, to live to a ripe old age. We're living longer than ever before. Now, the next generation, maybe not, if they don't pay a little bit of attention to their bad habits, you know, if junk foods and commercially prepared processed foods are all you take in, you might not live as long as my generation. Our children today are the first generation to come along. The young people today, the people 20 years old and younger, it's the first generation to come along in my whole lifetime that has a reduced outlook as far as the potential lifespan for them, because our diet has degenerated so badly. And it's what keeps me talking. It's what keeps me out here educating, is that we need to turn that back around again. And turning an entire culture's dietary habits around is not something that's lightly done. It's not something that's easy. It's like turning around a cruise ship. It takes a while to do that, but we can do it. And we have so much information about prevention. So as far as preserving cognitive health, the fish oils, yes, absolutely. But think about vitamin E, and particularly these tocotrienols. The Tocomin Superbio is a product that I think should be part of everyone's supplement regimen. There are also some botanical ingredients that help to battle cognitive decline. Some things I don't talk about herbs a lot, but there are a few. Schizandra berry, it's part of traditional Chinese medicine. A combination, this was published in the journal Phytomedicine, of schizandra, rhodiola, and eleutheroginseng helped people who were very fatigued perform better on cognitive tests. And who among us is not fatigued to some extent? Another herb, ashwagandha. It's an adaptogen, clearing mental fog and boosting psychomotor skills and cognitive dysfunction associated with anxiety and stress. Ashwagandha, schizandra. Vinpocetine comes from the periwinkle plant. It improves the speed at which the brain can form new thoughts. Vinpocetine, even small doses, 10 milligrams. So think about herbs when you're thinking about preserving cognitive function, along with your tocotrienol, vitamin E, and also the omega-3s. This is Food for Thought. We will be back with one more segment yet to come, so stay with me. I'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Carlson for Kids Chewable DHA is a fun and tasty way to provide your child with the nourishing benefits of DHA omega-3 oil. DHA is vital for healthy brain and vision development in growing children. Carlson for Kids Chewable DHA is bursting with orange flavor. And each chewable soft gel supplies 100 milligrams of DHA. You can give your children Carlson for Kids Chewable DHA with confidence, because all Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Look for the purity guarantee right on the label. Get your Carlson for Kids Chewable DHA from your favorite natural food store today. Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right. Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root. And a story that came out of the National Academy for Preventive Sciences is something that I thought was worth talking about, because we've been hearing so much about Ebola in the news and the scary idea that it might work its way out of Western Africa and end up over here somehow. It brings up immune function, and immune function is not just leaving things to chance. Immune function, if you really want to optimize it, is just like anything else that you really would like to optimize. You can work on it, and you can feed yourself in a way that boosts immune function. I talk all the time about vitamin D with relationship to immunity, because vitamin D levels are associated with better activity and better development of every category of immune cell. So all your white blood cells that are scooting around fighting viruses and bacteria and infectious organisms need vitamin D in order to go from stem cell to fully functional immune cell. And they use vitamin D to make themselves more toxic to the invaders. So powering up the potency of immune function is something that vitamin D does very well. But there are other compounds that support immune function, and there are some antioxidants that do that. And when you ask people to name an antioxidant, even people with the most subtle level of awareness on the subject could probably think of one or two. They might guess and say vitamin C or vitamin E. But one of the body's most important protective antioxidants is glutathione. And you almost never hear about it unless you're talking to a geek like me, one of us nutrition geeks. Glutathione is naturally found in nearly every cell, tissue, and organ in the body, and it's critical in protecting our cells from the damaging effects of oxidative stress and toxins. And oxidative stress and toxic insult are contributing factors to most of our most fatal diseases. And glutathione is so important that nutrition scientists refer to it as the master antioxidant. So how can you get glutathione? Glutathione hasn't been part of the everyday conversation, partly because the body produces glutathione on its own, supposed to produce glutathione on its own. But in order to do that, we have to have adequate levels of those antioxidants that I mentioned before, vitamin C, vitamin E, also beta-carotene, also selenium, and as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, 90% of people are not even getting the daily value of vitamin E, never mind optimal amounts of vitamin E, because remember, the daily values are basically the minimum wage. They help to promote survival, meaning they are levels that can help to prevent deficiency diseases, but they don't promote optimal health, just like minimum wage doesn't really ensure an optimal lifestyle. So the daily values are the minimum wages of nutrition, and yet 90% of people in North America are not even getting the daily value of vitamin E. So you could see, if the body needs vitamin E and vitamin C and beta carotene, and those come from vegetables and fresh fruits or multivitamins, you could see why, you know, maybe glutathione isn't produced the way that it should be in background production. There are very small amounts of glutathione, though, in fresh and frozen vegetables, in avocados, in asparagus and squash and potatoes and okra, and fruits like oranges and grapefruit and melon and strawberries and peaches. And there are teeny tiny amounts in meat. So the assumption was that people could eat to replenish their body stores of glutathione. But we probably need to supplement to boost glutathione levels. So we can take a glutathione supplement. And the old story was that taking glutathione didn't raise glutathione, but a new study has actually found, and this was at Penn State University School of Medicine, they actually found that glutathione supplementation did increase body stores and may be a very effective intervention strategy to boost immune function. And not only that, but taking glutathione is not the only supplement that you can take to raise glutathione levels. The master antioxidant glutathione can be boosted by taking glutathione boosters. And alpha-lipoic acid is one of them. That is one of my favorite antioxidant supplements. And alpha-lipoic acid also plays a very strong role in stabilizing blood sugar levels and reducing the damage of glycation, the sugar-induced damage in the body. By the way, cinnamon reduces that as well. But alpha-lipoic acid is the express way to glutathione increases. Lester Packer at Berkeley University compared lots of different approaches to raising glutathione levels in the body and found that alpha-lipoic acid was the shortest way, the most effective way. So you need to take probably about 100 milligrams a day of alpha-lipoic acid, and that may be in your multivitamin. If you're taking that NutriSupport Diabetes, which I think should be called Longevity Multi or Metabolism Multi or Long Life Multi or some other name, but if you were taking that multi, you'd be getting alpha-lipoic acid in that. But alpha-lipoic acid is one way, and N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, is another way to raise glutathione levels in the body. And when you do that, glutathione will be in your lungs, and it will be there to fight you breathing in infectious material. So far, Ebola hasn't really made it here to our shores, but the flu seems to raise its ugly head in just a few more months, and boosting glutathione levels and, by the way, vitamin D levels now would be a way that you could reduce the likelihood. Are there foods that are immune boosters? Well, one of my very favorite ones, tea, green tea, loaded with EGCG. That's an immune booster. The phytonutrients in tea also support the growth of beneficial bacteria in the intestine. They inhibit E. coli and Salmonella and Clostridium. 70% of your immune system is located in your digestive tract. 4 cups of green tea a day will keep it functioning at its peak. How about some Red Hot Chili Peppers? No, not the band. Chilies are immune boosters, and they're a great way to add flavor to food. They're ripening in my garden as we speak. They're loaded with beta carotene, which turns into vitamin A in the blood and fights infections. They're loaded with capsaicin, which inhibits chemicals that cause inflammation. And hot peppers even have anti-prostate cancer properties. Half a chili pepper or 1 tablespoon of chili flakes every day. Spice things up. Ginger is another one. Ginger is full of compounds, including gingerol, that suppresses cancer, particularly effective against cancer of the colon. Chop ginger or grind it freshly and add it to soy marinated fish, which is something I hope to do on the Gulf of Mexico next week. Marinate some fish in a little bit of soy sauce and saute them up over an open fire at the beach. Doesn't that sound like fun? Well, that will boost my immune function too. Other foods that do? Blueberries. They help to prevent a range of problems, from cancer spread to heart disease to the shrinking of your brain. 1 serving, 3.5 ounces of blueberries contains more antioxidants than practically any other fruit. You can drizzle them with lemon juice, mix them with some strawberries. Very powerful support for the immune system. Earlier I mentioned cinnamon. You really should have cinnamon every day. It inhibits blood clotting. It inhibits bacterial growth, stabilizes blood sugar levels. I mentioned that before. Reduces LDL cholesterol. But the inhibition of bacterial growth makes cinnamon an immune-boosting food. Are there others? Well, here's something you could put the cinnamon on. Sweet potatoes protect against Parkinson's, liver disease, cystic fibrosis, HIV, cancer, heart attack, stroke. Why? Because sweet potatoes actually contain glutathione, that antioxidant that I mentioned at the beginning of this segment. So in another way of boosting glutathione levels, sweet potatoes should be part. One sweet potato a day, it's easy enough to do. You can just bake up a few of them in advance, and then you're always ready, and add them to practically anything that you're making. They're just so delicious. Lycopene in tomatoes is another immune-boosting food. Cooked tomatoes and tomato paste work best, but a fresh tomato, 12 to 20 ounces of tomato juice, or make yourself some tomato sauce. And finally, figs might not be something that you eat every day, but they're loaded with nutrients. And, you know, if you don't like the fig by itself, Newman's Own Fig Newtons are a pretty easy way. So there are lots of things that we can do to power up immune function, and there are so many things that we can do to age gracefully. So go out and age more gracefully this week because of having heard this program. And thank you so much for listening. I'll be back again next week with another edition of Food for Thought. Bye-bye.
Listening to Food for Thought with Jolie Root, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Tune in again next time as Jolie Root sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought, Fridays at 10 a.m. on 1160 WVNJ.